And we know that the success of ourselves is always about elevating success in others. So if we as the leader can be that beacon and can outwardly radiate that so we can help others shine within our midst and within our organization.
The high tide raises all boats.
So
Exactly.
So it's taking that step back, because that's the first thing we have to do, is actually cast that bird's eye view around the office, around the team that we're working with, and actually say, you know, what I'm not looking for is what's going wrong. What I'm looking for are those little moments of clarity and strength that I'm seeing people that I have right here, right now.
Welcome. I'm Dawn Mathis, and this is To Your Greatness. Every day, you give so much of yourself to those you love. Through this podcast, I'll guide you on a journey to reawaken the greatness that lies within you. In each episode, you'll hear incredible stories of transformation from me and my guests that will inspire you to design and manifest a life that is in harmony with your soul's purpose. You are meant to live the life you'd love. Welcome back, everybody. This is To Your Greatness with Dawn Mathis, and I am Dawn Mathis. We have a very special guest from Malaysia today, and I'll introduce her in just a moment. Want to give you just a little bit of something to think about before she comes on. So we know in our workaday worlds, as women, we sometimes get this nudge, or what I like to call a soft signal. We're very intuitive as women. And maybe we feel like, we're doing pretty good, but maybe we're not doing everything we could do to be on top of our game. And I'm talking about in our workaday world. And so we might know just enough to feel that we might just need to tweak a few things. Maybe we feel like we've hit that proverbial glass ceiling or the glass wall. But deep down inside, we know that there's more we can do. And we just don't know what that is or how to access that. Maybe it's we're feeling this pull to become more than we are, a higher version of ourselves. Or maybe it's a thought like, I need to shift something. I want to take a little bit of a different direction. So where do we go, or what do we do if we want to take an action step when we're feeling those things? Well, I just so happen to have a woman here who can talk to us about that. And her name is Gail Gibson. Gail is a leadership and performance coach for women leaders. Yay! And she has developed what she calls the can-do mindset. She has a podcast called The Can-Do Way. She's an author of at least a couple of books. One of them, which is, I love the title, The Working Woman's Guide to Menopause. Rock on. Need more about that kind of stuff. So, Gail, thank you so much, and welcome to the podcast. We're so happy to have you.
Thank you so much, Dawn. It's great to be here. And
thank you also for being on so early in the morning. It's like we just talked about, it's happy hour here in Colorado, and in Malaysia, it's the other happy hour, the hot tea or coffee. So anyway, what I would love to start with is, I would love for you to tell the people listening a little bit about your story and how you came to this can-do mindset idea, if you would.
Thank you. When I get asked that question, you know, I cast my mind back to my childhood, and I think that's where it all began. I grew up in a home with a brother and two sisters and my mum and dad. And it was a happy family, but we had some challenges, and I think every family has its own challenges. And I think it was from that time, things got a bit tougher on me when I was in my teen years, and I was quite a rebellious teenager. And I did things I probably wasn't supposed to do, but some of those lessons learned as I reflect now were things that set me on this course to develop more of a can-do mindset, this can-do approach to life that I take today and help others with. So what I felt myself doing was I was probably taking some risks. I was facing challenges that I maybe didn't know how to deal with at the time. So I was learning about who I was, learning about who I wanted to be. And so I took myself away from that experience as I got to the end of my teens. And I then embarked on a lifetime of travel. And so I moved and worked in Canada first. I lived in Vancouver for 6 months. I went back to Australia, where I'm originally from. And then I met and married my husband. And we have been traveling the world together for almost the last 30 years. So if I think about that can-do approach and the journey we've been on, so much of travel teaches you to be adaptable, to be flexible, to face challenges, to win through and overcome those challenges, and also to you have to put yourself in a position to actually have a very open mind. Because you never know what you're going to face. You never know what's around the corner. And so by facing those challenges and being flexible, being adaptable, being open, you set yourself up to shape a world that can be very, very different, and you can learn so much about yourself. But I think the key to all of it throughout everything I've been through is that even though I had some challenges as a younger person, the challenges and the excitement also of travel and learning and to where I am today, I guess it's been resilience that has got me through, because you learn how to bounce back when you give yourself permission to do that, and you continue to become the person that you want to become. But I don't think I've become yet.
Oh,
I think
great.
I'm still becoming.
I love that. I love that. And in my coaching, that's one of the things we talk about is that you're a human becoming. You're not a human being. You're either on the upward spiral of attaining a higher version of yourself, or you're dying. Simple as that. What is the other, the farmer's one is a lot easier to remember. You're either ripe or rotten. So I love that. I love that.
Yep.
Can you break down for me? Let's just say that there's some women here on the podcast listening, and they want you to maybe break down that can-do approach a little bit to some bite-sized pieces. What can they start with, other than reaching out to you? What are some of the things that you would say to the people on the call today?
You know, I think there's three parts to the can-do approach that I have created for myself and help my clients with, or help women with as well. And the first one is to think about, you know, who am I? And what do I really want to be in life, or what do I want to do in my life? Because I think we, as you said in the introduction, Dawn, we can get really caught up in life. You know, there's so many things going on. And some women who are leaders are mothers as well. And so they are juggling motherhood and everything like that. They're juggling their role as a mum, as a wife, and as a person in the workplace, whether they're running a business or they're in a very high-flying corporate position. But along the way, because of the perhaps relentlessness of what's going on in our lives, we forget who we are in amongst all of that. And I would say, and I think it's something I realized in myself as well, and I've done a lot of this reflection over the years, at the end of every year or through the year, as a coach too, reflection is such a key part of it. And it's like, where am I going with this, and who am I, and what's really happening? Some things feel right, other things feel wrong. And it's about being aware of those wrong feelings and thinking, have I lost sight of what really matters to me and where I want to go with this? So it's, in a nutshell, that's values, isn't it? It's really, it's what makes up who we are, what really matters to us, what do we believe in, what is our cause? And I think that's the first place that women can start to have a look in their lives. So just to make some time to sit down and say, who am I? Who is Dawn? Who is Gail? What does that look like? What really matters to me? What do I care about? Am I giving enough of myself to myself first and then to those closest to me and then moving that out to a wider circle? So self comes first and thinking about you. The next step is linked to that, very closely linked to that, because that's all about values and purpose, is what work am I doing and is it meaningful? Is it bringing me the joy that I want it to bring me? Or am I in a toxic environment that's really draining me and I'm losing my energy and I'm just being pulled from pillar to post and there's nothing left of me at the end of the day, or I'm not giving as much as I could give? So it's about thinking about what is the work that I'm doing and is it meaningful? Does it have purpose to it? Am I having conversations with those in the workplace that are inspiring me, that I can see there's a path of sustainability here or something along those lines? Like, I'm seeing the long term, the big picture, rather than just seeing every day I go into the office maybe and I do my job and I come home and I'm exhausted. That isn't living. Because there might be no purpose behind the work that I'm doing. So what needs to happen now? And that all culminates with the third part of this can do, of saying to people, okay, so if you've got your values and you know what your purpose is, or you start to build that in, because it's a process, it takes time, we start to look at the work and we're a lot more open to and we're a lot more intuitive and start seeing that the work that we can start to do can mean a lot more to us and filter out to those around us. And then we're reaching this level of this peak personal performance, is the terms I like to use in my work. And it's all about reaching personal best, because we are in a state of flourishing. And we feel better about ourselves, our mindset, our bodies, and ourselves. We're in alignment. And so what we're then delivering out to others is helping them to reach that pinnacle as well in a lot of ways. It's so natural when we radiate that shine, that strength, that power, that we can impact and influence those around us as well. So, yes, it's living with it's creating that purpose and value, creating that meaningful work, and then reaching that personal best. I love that,
personal best. On your website, you also talked about not just achieving your best, but maybe your team, if you have a team. Or what do you do with someone who might come to you that wants to achieve? And really, it's the people in the trenches that can make her look good or look really, really bad. So are the steps the same for the team building to empower those people as it is for the leader?
Yes, it is indeed, because it's one of the first things that starts with the leader's work and the group work that I do, is it's all about taking a step back for a moment and noticing what's really going on. So one of the things I encourage in leaders who come to me to work with me and say, as you've just said, Dawn, I want to build myself, but I also want to build my team. And we know that the success of the success of ourselves is always about elevating success in others. So if we as the leader can be that beacon and can outwardly radiate that so we can help others shine within our midst and within our organization.
The high tide raises all boats.
So
Exactly.
So it's taking that step back, because that's the first thing we have to do, is actually cast that bird's eye view around the office, around the team that we're working with, and actually say, you know, what I'm not looking for is what's going wrong. What I'm looking for are those little moments of clarity and strength that I'm seeing people that I have right here, right now.
Love that.
And what I posted yesterday actually is an article I found on Fast Company, which was all about this, the term Great Resignation that we're hearing in the world so much of at the moment, and labor shortages and shifting markets and everything, the skills gap that's happening. And this article was actually talking about the fact that rather than look outside your organizations to bring in new talent, is what do you have within your organization already? So this aligns with what I'm sharing here, is saying, look at the people around you, and what you've got a huge pot of talent right there in front of you. It's like realizing human potential in any one of us as individuals. We have, and it's often so hidden, that human potential. We have that greatness within us, but it needs to be brought to the surface through listening, reflection, practice, really listening to ourselves, but listening to and being supported by others as well. So that's the place that I would start with a leader, is right. Say, look at what you've got around you, look at those strengths, and then how can we develop those strengths in you and the people?
Well, it seems to me that would bring about more job satisfaction, because I knew how it felt when I worked in corporate America, when they just brought in somebody and I'm like, we have people that can do that. What are you thinking? And yeah, it's kind of hard. So how, or what do you do to bring the two together, the leader and the team? How do you change that culture? My experiences haven't been so wonderful in corporate America. I've had quite the opposite, which is why I'm not in corporate America, probably. I'm probably unemployable in corporate America, actually, which is, I'm proud about that. But anyway, so what would you say would be some of the steps that people can take to build the culture that you're talking about?
Well, as I said, it starts with taking that bird's eye view. And one of the key parts of my coaching that I encourage in leaders to get the conversation started, because it's about building a deeper connection with the people closest to you. Because if instead of, as I said, looking outwards, if we look inwards, when we reflect on ourselves, we ask ourselves a lot of questions, and we ask ourselves what's going on, what do I need to do about it perhaps, and what do I want? What do I want my life to look like? So the same process can be taken in, and I often bring this in for my leaders as well, is just to say, well, why don't you start again and get to know your team at a deeper level? So encourage more regular informal chats with people. You know, for a long time in the corporate world, there's been this annual performance review, which I completely despise. And the leaders that I work with, I encourage organizations and leaders to spend more time with their people. You know, the most successful organizations out there, the CEOs know the name of most of the people that work in their, or if not all, the people that work in their organizations. And they regularly just stop by and have a chat, because they care about their people. They want to know what's going on. And so as a leader, you can do that with your team. You know, even if you've never done it before and you've been at the grindstone because it's been target driven, it's been results oriented, and we know that the bottom line of business is to make a profit and to be able to reinvest in the organisation and make the organisation bigger. We get that as coaches, and we get that when we help our leaders. But at the same time, if people are not happy and if the workflow isn't happening and productivity is low, morale is low, etc.,
right,
what's the point? So coming back to it and opening up those conversations, listening more deeply, being more focused on the individual. And one of the things that I help my leaders with is to take more of the appreciative inquiry type approach to questions and say, let's just play to the strengths, rather than bringing people in and going, you could be doing it like such and such because they do it this way and they're much better. That's just going to demotivate someone straight away, isn't it? And tell them that they're useless, rather than, well, what's working for you? What do you think? So tell me what is working for you? What do you think can work for you? And what then can we do together as a team? So it's about opening up possibility, opening potential, and then bringing about this sense of, actually, my leader cares about me. So the ripple starts to happen in conversations within the team, and people start to go, well, let's see how we can maybe start to work together more. We can collaborate on projects. We can be more curious, because our leader is actually showing us that they want more input from us. And the more that we talk, the more that we share, the more that we can grow together. When people start to come to work and they're given that opportunity, they seem to be happier. They start to be more interactive and participate at a different level. But it's just by having those deeper conversations, that's where we can get started doing that with ourselves and our team.
So does that happen some just one-on-one with the leader and then some in teams? Because I know with typology, there's a lot of people who are like, I'm not saying anything. And they really do have a lot to say, but they're afraid to share.
It starts with the leader, but then it needs to ripple out, and exactly the same blueprint goes out to work with the team as well, because it's helping the leader realize that they're not going to be sailing this ship from one port to the next alone. They need all parts of their team to get the sails up, to keep the ship running. Using that analogy, one person doesn't sail a great big sailing ship.
Yeah.
It's a team effort. So otherwise we're going to crash into the rocks, or we're just not even going to get started on the journey. So, yes, it starts with the leader and moves into the team.
So what would you say are some of the challenges that face women as leaders in corporate America today?
I think from a corporate perspective, I've done some work in America, but a lot of work in the UK and with leaders in the Southeast Asian market too. So I'm sure it's very similar across the board, you know, but I think one of the things that I have noticed is very different in the UK is there's a lot more of a drive towards the equality in leadership with women. So there is, and it has, I've noticed this for quite some time, the UK has been at the forefront of dropping the men are in certain roles and women are in others. There is still a long way to go to bridge a lot of those gaps. But women are being actively encouraged a lot more to move into perhaps not the traditional roles that women were moving into. As against women here in Southeast Asia, it is still a very male-dominated society throughout the peninsula. And I've worked with women leaders in China, in Thailand, in Malaysia and in Singapore and Brunei. And there is still a very hierarchical mm-hmm. style of leadership here, and it is a lot of male leadership at the top, and then women are in other roles. There's a movement here. There is a growing movement to see that being challenged and to see how that can impact and bring about more of a lessening that gap in disparity. But one of the things that we really noticed through the pandemic was that I noticed, as well as a colleague of mine, and we wrote our second book together. We've co-authored a book called The Rise of C19 Leadership. It's about seeing beyond and becoming the leader you were born to be. And what it actually addresses is that gap that we saw in the market where women leaders were starting to shine very brightly through the pandemic, because they were taking more of the approach of what I've already shared in our chat today about listening to their teams, deepening the connection, nurturing the strength of what they had already. And they were bringing about this different level of empathy that perhaps hadn't been shown in the workplace before. Because as we all know, we were thrust into the world of having to work remotely. And so staying in touch and maintaining that connection was a very important part of it. So women started to shine as leaders. And male leaders were learning to develop some of those traits. So there was this swing shift in leadership that men were starting, or male leaders were starting to adopt and address some of these more feminine-led leadership traits. So in terms of where we're at now in that leadership journey, I think there's a lot more equality is being addressed. There's still diversity in the workplace, but I think it's, if anything, that other word of inclusivity I have noticed is happening a lot more, and there's a lot more collaboration, there's a lot more talk going on. So I really believe that the strengths of historically women's leadership styles are coming more and more into our day-to-day leadership styles of empathy, of nurturing, of the inclusivity, and a different level and a more proactive and progressive level of communication as well.
Yeah, well, that's a tough one, but it does seem that there's been some kind of a shift with the pandemic, and mm-hmm. I'm wondering if it's maybe because we're isolated and working in our own box, so to speak, that there's not so much of that water cooler talk, you know, oh, here's that woman trying to be a mm-hmm. boss again. You know, I mean, because we're isolated. I mean, I see that there's some kind of a silver lining about what happened with, you know, people being isolated in their homes and maybe shining a little bit, or it was easier mm-hmm. for people to shine a little bit. Do you think that might be part of it?
I do, because I'm a strong believer as well in giving people autonomy, and that shift toward virtual working and being your own boss in your own home. And studies suggest that the productivity levels have risen as a result of people being at home, because at first I think everybody was very challenged by that sudden, oh gosh, I'm working from home. There's children yes. being homeschooled as well, being on the internet.
How do you get on Zoom?
A few challenges. And then my wife, my partner, or whoever that significant other is, yes. they may be working as well. And it's like, how are we going to manage that? So it all got a bit crazy, but then at the same time, people developed some resilience and they developed this, okay, well, if we create some boundaries, mm-hmm. if we learn how to create some boundaries in the home, if I work and become my own boss and say I'm committed to working these hours at this time on this work, it gives me a bit more autonomy to say, well, I can have that break time and I can have that downtime with my family, and we can build in some really clear boundaries and have some perhaps better blended work-life
yeah.
kind of time together It took some people quite a long time, and some people really struggled, and all they wanted to do was go back into the office. But I think that in the longer term, it was autonomy that really was a positive outcome from this virtual world of
working.
Oh,
absolutely. I totally agree with that. So can you speak a little bit to the challenges that women leaders have in the workplace as we're aging? Sure.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I think this links very much to our menopause book that I co-wrote with another fellow coach of mine, Ruby Maguire. She's based in Scotland in the UK, and me being in Malaysia,
wow.
We co-wrote Across the Miles over 6 months. So we made it happen, and we published our book in February last year.
Congratulations.
But we were noticing in our, yes, 8 hours difference, but we still got our writing time in, so we did it.
There you go.
That's a can-do mindset. And we were recognising in ourselves as women in our early 50s, and we were going through perimenopause and going into that wonderful world of menopause ourselves. And we were starting to notice the difference and the impact that not only the changes that we were experiencing, but the whole discussion around menopause was having a huge impact in workplace conversations. And for a long time, as I'm sure it is in the US as well, menopause has been a taboo. We don't talk about it. We don't address it. And as an older woman going into that time in our lives, we're just thinking, wow, I can't talk about this, so I feel shamed. I'm anxious. I don't know what my moods are going to be from one day to the next. I could have some serious hormonal imbalances here, and I could have floods of periods when I least expect it. There's all kinds of things that can happen to us as we go through that menopause journey in life. So one of the things that we've noticed with the leaders that we've been working with, Ruby works primarily with small business solopreneurs, and then I'm working with a mixture of small business and also corporate women. So we were noticing that they were leaving their jobs, they were leaving their roles because they did not feel supported and they could not perform at the levels that they had previously performed at because nobody was listening to them. Nobody was giving them that time, and they perhaps were fighting against that rising tide of uncertain hormonal fluctuations and all of the other perhaps symptoms that contribute to that as well. The tiredness, the mood swings, the hot sweats, the flushes, all of those kinds of things. And there's statistics that have proven that hundreds of women have just walked away from high performance roles because of going through this older women cycle, and particularly into that menopause journey. So it's an alarming rate that we women should have to face at a very critical yet a very personal time in our lives, that we can be delivering a high level of performance, say, into our 30s and maybe our early 40s, and then all of a sudden that gets capped and it changes, and it's like, I want to be heard, I want to have a voice, and I want to be understood. But it's not just putting women out on that pedestal and saying, well, we're different, we're going through menopause, we should get treated differently. It's not about that. It's about saying to individuals, to teams, to organizations across the world that menopause is a phase in life, and women and men should be talking about this. We should be normalizing the conversation, and we should be supporting our women leaders just as much as we should be supporting our male leaders in all walks of life and all businesses. But if we can normalize the conversation and we can talk about it, we can support each other, and we can better manage and cope with perhaps the impact of all of those symptoms as we go through. So through our book, we give practical ways and strategies and tools that Ruby and I have both used to manage our mindset and help ourselves cope better through these years of working. And so when I've worked with leaders and I've helped them with some of those strategies as well, women going through the same journey, I've said to them, you know, it's taking that step back, but it's about voicing that in your workplace and encouraging others to talk about it as well. And the ripple is starting to grow into more of a wave, and the UK has been very, very much at the forefront of building in very strong and positive and sustainable menopause policies in the workplace. And there's bills going through Parliament now about discrimination and bringing it into line with all of the other parts of discrimination that are being shown in the workforce. So to end this part of the conversation is just to say that I think with a drive of understanding, nurturing, better communication, and it's the thread of everything I've been talking about today, is when we listen more deeply and we show that we care and we can bring about this level of empathy and include everyone around us. It's not just for women leaders, it's for everybody, to create that harmony, to create that sense of, you know, I want to work in this workplace and I want to be able to shine, but I need the support to do that, whether I'm a man or a woman or anyone who identifies as either one or neither of those in the workplace as well.
You were talking about the compassion and understanding and not judging, but, you know, enveloping everybody and being inclusive, because like you were saying, when these alarming rates of women drop out, what I see happening is that institutional intelligence that is innate, because these women have so much to offer that's maybe not even written down, but when those people leave, instead of letting that torch be passed, the torch is dumped in upside down into a bucket of water. We, as a company, as companies, we lose a lot of information that's valuable, that would help the next generation of workers at that place. And this is just my theory. It just makes sense to pass the torch. I mean, we just came off the Olympics. Let's just pass the torch. Mm-hmm. Let's do it gently. Let's be mm-hmm. compassionate, because everybody has something to give. And don't stop somebody. Let them finish out the value that they can give in a company and to other people. And I think we all win. Yeah.
I couldn't agree with you more. Why stifle the potential and the talent that's there when we, as you said, Dawn, we lose so much, and then we have to go back to the drawing board and start all over again, and that just delays everything.
Yeah, and it costs money. Forward. So, you know, the people that are so concerned about the bottom line, it's like, here's a way to save some money. Yeah, so, wow. Great stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, before we close, Gail, I was wondering if we could, if you wouldn't mind giving us the name of your two books. Your website is GailGibson.com, right?
Gail M. Gibson.
Oh, I missed that. See, it's so, I'm, thank
so
you.
Gail M.
So Gail
Gibson,
M. Gibson.com. Okay. And tell us the name of your podcast and your books, please, so we can get those in the show notes.
Yes. Okay, so I've got my podcast is The Can Do Way, and that's a weekly show that I put out on. It's on Audiowala platform is my hoster, and then it goes out across Apple, Amazon, and various other online platforms. I actually have three books, Dawn, that I've written. My first book was a book all around business networking. And that's called Making Connections, how to network effectively to build better business relationships. And that was my first solo book. And my other two books are co-authored. So the second book is The Rise of C19 Leadership, See Beyond and Become the Leader You Were Born to Be. And that was a collaboration with a fellow coach in Kuala Lumpur here. And it's all about the new generation of leadership post-COVID times. And then the third book, which was also written during the pandemic, two books in the pandemic, is The Working Women's Guide to Menopause, When the Heat Is On.
Oh, I love that title.
And that's a co-authored book.
When the heat is on, don't sweat it. I love it. Do you have those three books listed also on your website somewhere?
Yes, I have a shop page on my website where people can go to and they can purchase them from all online booksellers, Amazon and Barnes & Noble, etc. in the US, and then many other indie publishers as well have them available. So as Kindle or as a paperback. Whichever version suits the reader.
Oh, gosh. Wow. This was power-packed. Thank you so very much for your time. I know you're just getting ready to start your workaday world. And like I said, we're getting ready for happy hour here of some kind. But I just so appreciate your time, Gail. And I look forward to speaking with you again sometime soon. Are there any final parting words you want to say to our women audience?
I think that, you know, after everything we've talked about today, is just something I tell everybody I probably meet, is just to go out there and be yourself. Okay. Just discover who you are right now and just focus on that, because as my co-author Ruby always says, we are where we're meant to be right now. And, you know, in life that is okay, because instead of rushing, instead of becoming something else right now and thinking I have to keep up with everybody else, take a moment, look at who you are, be yourself, and let things happen, whatever happens next. But just be kind to yourself on this journey. And really go with the flow.
I love that. We are where we're supposed to be right now. I love that. So where we are right now is on the podcast, To Your Greatness with Dawn Mathis. I'm Dawn Mathis. And thank you so much again, Gail Gibson, for being on the podcast with us. Everyone, take care, stay safe, and be good to yourselves. Bye for now. Thank you for joining me on To Your Greatness. If you're inspired by what you heard and are ready to take a deeper dive into your own life's purpose, I'd love to offer you a complimentary life reflection session. In this session, I'll help you get clearer about what's been holding you back and how you can rediscover the greatness that lies within you. If this is something you would love, I invite you to head to my website, toyourgreatness.net. where you can take the first step in this journey. Spots are limited, so claim yours today. You are so much more than what you do for others. I believe there is a dream inside you just waiting to be fulfilled. If you agree, I invite you to take that first step and visit www.toyourgreatness.net right now. I can't wait to meet with you. My name is Dawn Mathis, and this is To Your Greatness. Remember, your greatness lies within you. See you next time. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I invite you to subscribe and keep listening. Remember to like, share, and review this podcast to help other listeners like you find their way to this heart-centered community. Thank you so much.